You'll take your Bibles, and we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4. And interestingly enough, I had my outline and had studied the passage or the proverb and had my outline done and already turned in before I even learned of the latest developments yesterday. And you know, it's always fascinating how God always knows what's coming up, and how He has guidance for us and plans for us and instructions for us. No matter what we're going to face, no matter what we're going to get into or go through in life, there's help, as the Scripture says, there's help in time of need. And He's our ever-present help. And so it's going to be ironic, because when we're going to look at this passage tonight, there's going to be some very, very straightforward guidance and instruction from God's Word about how to live life. And I titled tonight's message, or our study tonight, because this is what just jumped out at me when I was reading through this and studying it, is you got Solomon said, "Son, listen to me." I mean, that's what the whole proverb strikes, that note of, listen to me. I got some things to tell you, and I want you to listen to me. And he's going to have some instructions about how we should treat wisdom and insight. Now, what's the difference between just sheer knowledge and wisdom? Well, wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge and how to properly appropriate it. And when somebody has some good advice for you and some wisdom to give you, it doesn't always mean that they did everything right. In fact, a lot of times parents will tell their kids, "Now look, learn from the mistakes what I've made." Yeah. But we're also saying is that with maturity, with age, with time, if you have a mind to seek wisdom and to want to mature and want to grow up, in time you gain wisdom. And so as we look at this proverb, he says let's just go ahead and beginning in verse 1, because as tonight, with all we've learned and everything that's going on, we believe as we come together as God's people and open up His Word, He has a word for us. And you know what? There might be something different for different people here tonight. In fact, what you may have just learned tonight, that what we're going through as a church and the things, the challenges that we have, might be just one more set of troubles that have been placed on your plate, because you already came with a full plate of stuff that you're thinking about and dealing with and whatever it might be. So, picking up in verse 1 of chapter 4, or Proverbs 4, he says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching." He says, I give you good precepts in verse 2. And what is a precept? A precept is a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. That's what the dictionary tells us. A precept is a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. Why do we say a general rule? Well, you know, as you know, Proverbs 22:6, some of you might have that memorized, says, "Train up a child in the way he should go," what? "And when he is old, he shall not depart from it." Does anyone know of a parent who, by all human standards, did everything right and according to the Bible, and the kid still went astray? Do any of us know any of those parents out there that did everything right according to what they understood the Bible to exhort parents to do and how to live and to teach their children? And not only did they go astray, they never came back. Yeah. We can all know of those painful circumstances where it looks like it did not turn out the way the proverb said that it would. But that's why these are precepts, meaning these are principles. And what the writer, the person with wisdom, is saying is that, look, this is the way you should do it, and this is what you should pursue. And if you will, 9 times out of 10, things are going to turn out good. These are good principles to live by. Because we can all think of times when it didn't always start. But then again, we think about Jesus. When Jesus saved you, did he promise you a stress-free, problem-free life? If he did, I don't know what Bible you're reading because I've not found it in here. In fact, he said just the opposite. You will have trials. You will have tribulation. People will hate you because of me. So he didn't pull any punches with us to tell us that this life, this world's a fallen world. That's what we live in. But he's preserved his word here in these passages in the Old Testament, the wisdom literature, where the writer is saying, these are excellent principles to live your life by. When I was a son with my father, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, in other words, I was the only one around at that time, I got all the attention, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Keep my commandments and live. Now, who's writing this? Solomon. Who's he talking about? David. Did David make mistakes? Yes. But David is saying, look, listen to what I'm going to tell you. In those moments of inspiration, in those moments when his heart was acting out like it had been described, where he was a man after God's own heart, he was telling his son, look, listen to me, and if you listen to me and follow what I say and what I'm teaching you, because I've been around the block a few times, I've made plenty of mistakes, they're well known, but if you listen to me, what? You will live. You'll experience life. It'll be a life worth living. It'll be a life worth imitation. So he says basically, number one, above all, get wisdom and insight. Get wisdom and insight. Verse 5. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth, because it brings life. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. You'll experience life. You'll experience security. Look at the words that he used here. He uses words as if pursuing a lover, pursuing the object of your affection, pursuing a mate, pursuing someone you want to love and be loved by. And he talks about wisdom he's talking to his son, so he's talking about wisdom as a her, a she. And he's saying, pursue her in the right way. Win her, draw her, hold on to her. And what? And she will not forsake you, and she will keep you, and she will guard you. You'll experience life, and there will be security when you gain wisdom and insight. And then verse 7, and the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Once again, he keeps emphasizing this. It's not enough just to get wisdom, but also get insight. And when we read these words about wisdom here, we think about James 1, 5 through 6, where in the New Testament, the Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith and no doubting. See, we benefit because we not only have the Old Testament, the precepts, the principles, but we have the New Testament, also the empowered Word of God, alive, stronger than any sharper than any two-edged sword, yet stronger and sharper than a two-edged sword, that's right, and able to penetrate as far as the intentions of the heart. It's empowered. And we benefit because we got both sets. And so he says, gain wisdom, but also get insight. And look at verse 8. Prize her, once again using the feminine pronoun, prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Wisdom will bring life. Wisdom will bring security. And wisdom will bring honor. You will live and lead an honorable life. We can see a lot of people in our world today that live, quote unquote, successful lives, but may not be honorable lives. He says, pursue wisdom, get insight, how to appropriate the wisdom. Pursue her, love her, she will love you, she'll bring honor to your life. You'll have an honorable life. You know what? I think when, especially godly parents, above all, I believe parents, when you boil it right down to the real, real core value in any parent's heart, you would rather that your children be honorable and moral than rich or successful or known. In the deepest resources of every parent's heart, you would rather that your children lead an honorable life more than how much they earn or how well they're known or how successful they are in the marketplace. All those other things are nice, but you just can't put a price on honor. Secondly, he says, pursue the righteous life. So in other words, get wisdom and insight. Secondly, pursue the righteous life. Verses 10 through 13. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. The first reason to pursue a righteous life is that it lasts longer. Now, do we know people who have died young? Of course. Do we know good people who have died young? Yes. But he's talking that on the norm, the basic thing is you pursue a righteous life and you're going to live longer because you're inevitably going to stay away from the things that can so easily shorten your life. I have taught you the way of wisdom and I have led you in the paths of uprightness. Verse 12, when you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Not only will your life last longer, but you'll also face fewer obstacles. Now, once again, we're talking about precepts. We can all think of people who seem like good people, and they have more heartache and challenges, it seems, in their life, and whether you ever say it out loud or not, but you thought it, like, boy, it just doesn't seem fair that every time they turn around, they're going through some other challenge, or they have some other hurt, or they're going through pain or sickness or trouble of some sort. We can all think of people that it just doesn't seem like. In fact, sometimes we might look at others and say, they seem so much better than me. Why do they go through so much? And I seem to have a relatively easy life. Well, that's all relative. But he says, you pursue a righteous life, it's going to last longer, it's going to be more fruitful, it's going to be more fulfilling, it's going to be more peaceful, and you won't run into as many obstacles. Because we can also think of people that seems like every time they turn around, they're making some poor decision, and we look at their life, and guess what? It's hard. It's hard. And you just sometimes scratch your head and say, well, what do you expect? Because they're going like, I did it again. And then they're complaining about some hardship that's coming to their life, whatever it may be. But when you look at the sum total of their decisions and what they're really pursuing, you say, what did you expect? When you steer away from righteousness and pursue a different life apart from righteousness, you're going to face even more obstacles and hardships and difficulties. You see, life in many ways is just a matter of one decision after another. Even when you're a little kid, some decisions we make are subconscious. We make thousands of decisions a day, and some of them we don't even think about. And some would be maybe thought of as neutral, but really very few decisions are neutral. In other words, you might say, well, I could think of a neutral decision. What about if I go this morning for breakfast at IHOP and I order a big stack of pancakes instead of the fruit? Well, you're probably not going to keel over and die right then, but I guarantee you that that is not as healthy as that. But that's a decision. You might say, that's a neutral decision. It's not completely neutral. Because you do that enough, and you will see that it's not neutral. It adds pounds, and it makes you less healthy. But even some of those things we might say, see, not every decision has equal consequences. But just about every decision has some consequence in some way, in some manner or form. So we make thousands of decisions. Some are relatively benign, and some are not. If you go out and live a wild life, a reckless life, there'll be consequences to pay for it. If you struggle with addiction, you have to be honest with yourself and realize you didn't get there overnight. There were many decisions that led up to that. Leonard Prater works in my office with me. And he is, well, I'm going to confess, I'm going to tell you tonight about one of my addictions. I have an addiction to coffee. I drink way too much coffee. I admit it. Part of the healing process is to be able to admit it. I'm working on drinking less coffee. A little bit of coffee, studies say, is good for you. Too much coffee, it's not good for you. I drink too much coffee. Leonard points out that I drink too much coffee. And he came in my office today and said, so how many cups have you had? And I said, that's only my second cup. Uh-huh, like that. And I said, what? And he said, you drink too much coffee. I said, no, I don't. He said, yeah, you do. And I said, no, I don't. I can stop at any time. I realized, uh-oh, those are the words of an addict. I can stop any time. Life is full of decisions. Not all have equal consequences, but just about every one of them have consequences to one degree or another. When you pursue the righteous life, your life's going to last longer. Your days will be long, as the scripture says, and you'll have fewer obstacles. Number three, verses 14 through 19. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. Avoid the wicked life. Number one, verse 16, it's enslaving. It'll enslave you. Do not walk the path of the wicked. Pass by. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. And look what you see, verse 16. These are people that are in bondage, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. Can you imagine? Somebody so filled with evil, they've chosen this wicked life, and they can't sleep unless they've done something that is wicked, that is wrong. The second part of that verse, it's crippling. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. Not only do they stumble, they make people stumble. And when you follow the wicked life, you're going to be in the company of others who are in the process of stumbling. And guess what? They're going to help you stumble. They will tear you down because you're in the company of fools. It's enslaving. It's crippling. Verses 17 through 18, look at this. Look at the words that he uses. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The wicked life is poisonous. Oh, you might choose a wicked life that you never drink alcohol, you never smoke a cigarette, you never take drugs. But when you talk about the intentions of the heart, and if you have a wicked heart, your whole body is poisoned. Your thinking is poisoned. Your body is poisoned. And you know what? We have a way of where physically we will manifest the poison and the death and the disease that is in our minds. How many times we see someone who maybe is racked with unforgiveness or bitterness or anger, and they sooner or later begin to manifest physical symptoms that is a direct cause of these intentions of the heart. And finally, verse 19, it says, and it's filled, and it's, they're in deep darkness. And they don't even realize what they're stumbling over because they're walking in darkness. Avoid the wicked life. It is enslaving, it's crippling, it's poisonous, and it's filled with darkness. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. But after all, who's the instigator? Who's behind accommodating us in sin? The evil one. And when you look at the Bible, his tactics, his agenda has not changed since the beginning of time, and yea, verily, verily, even before time on earth. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do to you, and that's what he wants to do to me. Avoid the wicked life, son. And finally, verses 20 through 27. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your what? Your heart. For they are life. Look, he uses the word heart there. And again, uses that word life. He said, I'm telling you about life. I want a good life for you. And the scriptures are calling out to you and to me today. It's calling out to a generation that is sinking in relativism, where there is no absolute truth. What might be true for you may not be true for me, and vice versa. But that's not what the Bible tells us. And we are, if you will, the stewards, the guardians of God's word. We are the ones, because we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we've become Christians, and we've placed our trust in him. Then the scripture says that we are his what? Witnesses. We're his witnesses. And what are we witnessing to? The pages call out to us, I want you to have a life worth living. Follow these things. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away your crooked speech and put devious talk from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, that all your ways will be sure. Look how he says, ponder. Think before you step. Ponder the path. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Stay away from the wicked life. Number four, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Fall in love with wisdom. Pursue insight. Guard your heart. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15, 18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. He said, guard your heart. Incline your ears to my saying. So in verse 24, he basically says, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, son. Make it important what you are saying. Put away your crooked speech, your idle speech, your senseless, meaningless speech. Secondly, keep your eyes straight ahead, verses 25 and 26. Let your eyes look directly forward. You know, my father is becoming very, very feeble now and cannot walk without either a walker or with me, you know, walking with him. And the other day when I was with him, he was watching every single step that he took. And, you know, everything. And when a curb was coming up, and I said, Dad, I said, why don't you try this? Stop looking down at the ground and start looking out like you did whenever you were more sure in your footing and you looked where you're going. The ground is going to be there. Look where you're going. And so he raised his eyes up and I still had him by the arm and he started walking. Why? Because he wasn't trying to worry about every single step. I was holding him. He could have confidence in me, but then he just needed to look where he was going. And there he said, look, if you get wrapped up in the minutiae of every single day, you're going to get bogged down. Keep your eyes where you want to go. If you have a bad day or two, don't get swallowed up by that. Keep your eyes, well, where do I want to go? So if I'm here, but I want to get there, how am I going to get from here to there? I've got to keep my eyes where I'm going. What did Jesus even say? That when you put your hands to the plow or what? Don't look back. Don't look back. So watch your mouth, keep your eyes straight ahead, and what? Stay in your lane. You ever see anybody texting while they're driving? I saw you texting. No, I'm just kidding. You can always tell when somebody's not paying attention to what they're driving, when they're not keeping their eyes on the road and looking ahead. Why? Because they're swerving. They're coming over into your lane. They're going to, you know, go up against the curb or something. You know, they're doing this. And you want to say, stay in your lane. Sometimes just pick a lane and stay in it. But stay in your lane. Same thing in life. Keep your eyes down the road and stay in your lane. I think there's some wisdom there to be able to say, too, that, you know, quit just going with every single wind that comes along. Bible says in the New Testament that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Develop a focused life, not obsessive. But focused. Where do you want to go? Is it a righteous life or is it a wicked life? If it's a righteous life, then pursue it. And if it's a righteous life, where's it going? And how are you going to travel down the road? And how are you going to stay out of the ditches? You stay out of the ditches by keeping your eyes straight ahead and stay in your lane. It's good advice. Good precepts. Good rules for living. Wisdom. Insight. From someone who made lots of mistakes and didn't always get it right. Is it foolproof? No, we live in a fallen world. But by and large, we do what God preserved in His Word here from a king a long, long time ago. The principles are transferable, they're timeless, and if we follow them in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a good life when all's said and done. Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ? The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. You have to trust Christ. That's why He died on the cross for you. You can't be good enough. You might be a really, really nice person, but you can never be good enough to get to heaven. That's why we need Jesus. And I'm so glad that He took my sin and gave me His righteousness when I didn't deserve it. If there's a doubt in your mind, why don't you deal with that tonight and take care of that? Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you tonight and said, you know what, there needs to be some adjustments in your life. Maybe you've been kind of swerving out of your lane a little bit, and it's time to keep your eyes on the road, straighten up, and stay out of the ditches. Praise the Lord that it's not too late, and you can do that tonight. I believe we have some folks here that are at decision time? Hello, how could, look at that. Lovely ladies right down here. They're going to get up and head to a room that's just right out here to my left and to your right. Those of you who are Wednesday regulars, you know where it is, you've heard it before, but those of you who might be with us tonight and not aware where it is, right outside the room here, there's a little door, and then immediately to the right, some folks in there to pray with you. Maybe you have questions about what it really does mean to be a Christian. You heard what I said, but you still want to explore that a little bit more, or just need someone to pray with you. Maybe you don't even want to be specific about what it is. You just need someone to pray with you. That's their ministry. And that's our ministry.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's Word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.